We're going to do a story now about a toxic grandmother. And this story caught my eye. It is from the Toronto Sun. And it's the Dear Amy column here. And just check out this first line. In the newspaper business, you know, you talk about the lead, right? L-E-D-E, the lead, the first line, the first paragraph. It's the thing that's a grabber that gets you in and keeps you interested. And check out this lead. Dear Amy, my 90-year-old grandmother is a truly awful human being. Who's not going to read on after that? I had to read on. She's alienated her entire family, including her 5 kids and multiple grandchildren. She's lost countless friends and ruined relationships with those around her. The mother, my mother, this person who's writing this letter, says, my mother refers to her as a sociopath, and my uncles and aunts say they cannot wait for the day that she eventually passes. I mean, this is brutal stuff. Here's the story that really that I couldn't believe. When my sister, who is gay, got married a few years ago, my grandmother was invited and chose not to attend. Instead, she sent my sister and her new wife a pamphlet on sexually transmitted diseases enclosed in a sympathy card. At that point, I was fully done with her, as was my sister. So what we're asking here is, does every family have someone like this in it? And can you ever cut someone like this out of your life? Let me know. You can call me at 416-872-1010, or you can text me at 71010. Susan has been waiting very patiently on the line. Susan, thank you for holding.
Thank you for taking my call. So I thought my family was close. I mean, we are nuts. We have dysfunction. We have issues. I know my younger sister is a bully. My older sister is intellectually delayed. But I thought we were a good family. And I had a nephew that I helped raise. And I had 2 other nephews that I tried to get close with, but my younger sister didn't like it. But when my mother died, it's like they all turned on me. And I was 50 years old when that happened. And I even tried talking to my my delayed sister, the older one, because mm-hmm. I thought we were very close. And I said to her, "We've been sisters for 50 years, but wouldn't have anything to do with me." And I moved back to Toronto, and I cut them out of my life. They tried contacting me 2 years ago, but it turns out it's only because my younger sister wants to move to L.A. where her son is a producer in movies now in about 6 years, and she wants me to help take care of my older sister. And I said, I won't do it.
And in the line that I have here, so when people call in, they tell me the name and they get a little description of what you're going to talk about. And it says here that you wrote off your family years ago after they turned your back on her. That's the story you've just told us. And then you say you're better off for it. How do you feel better off for it?
I'm better off for it because they were bullies. They cut me out of my father's will. They acted as if I was a stranger and not a sister. They were very jealous of me, which they should have been. But I don't know why. I mean, ever since when my husband died 16 years ago, that's when it really started turning really bad. So normal people, if you lose a spouse, your family, you know, comes around you. But my kind of family is if I fall down, most people, you expect I lift my arm up and they help raise me up. Mm-hmm. But what my family would do is kick. Now, not my mom so much, but she allowed it, I guess, as growing up and ignoring what was going on. But kick, and I mean kick me as I'm down. And my friends rallied around me.
And, well, so, you know, there's a writer named Armistead Maupin. And Armistead Maupin has an amazing story that he tells about creating a family for himself. And he says, you know, you have to choose your logical family, not always your biological family.
Exactly. I think what happened was I had put money into our old home after my husband passed away. And when we moved into the new home, I was supposed to write up a new contract for my mom to sign to say that I passed it over. But she was dying, and I didn't want to have to stick some kind of a contract in front of my mother. And she passed away 4 months later. Well, I had to go to court to try to get my money back. And that's what happened.
And nothing will cleave a family apart faster than money.
nothing. And it's very sad. It's very tragic. But what can I do? I mean, I was always there as a good sister, always giving money, not lending money. Mm-hmm. I gave her my car when her car broke down. And, you know, because she had two kids, and I was, you know, a widow. And it's very tragic. It's their loss, and I'm trying to make it up. Like, I'd like to donate organs, but according to the organ donor places, they're going to contact my family to make sure that, you know, it's okay. And I think to myself, they didn't care about me when I was alive. They shouldn't have the right to do anything when I'm dead.
Absolutely, Susan. We have to leave it there. But thank you so much for the phone call, and have a lovely Friday night.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for the call. We're getting lots of texts on this. Text me at 71010 or call me at 416-872-1010 if you have someone in your family like this toxic grandmother. I mean, I can't believe this story. I just love the first line of this story. My 90-year-old grandmother is a truly awful human being. If you have someone like that in your family, let me know. And can you ever really cut somebody out like that? Susan, our last caller, found a way to do it, and she says she's better off for it. Text here on the text board, I have a brother serving a sentence in the UK for child molestation. Pretty sure I'll never talk to him again. We're talking about a story that we found in the Toronto Sun. It's the Dear Amy column. Headline, Toxic Gram Strains Family by Asking for Money. So I didn't quite get to that part of the story. So what's happened here is someone has written into the advice columnist and said, my 90-year-old grandmother is a truly awful human being. My mother refers to her as a sociopath. Aunts and uncles say, I can't wait until she passes away. And, you know, they invite her to family functions. She never goes. When she does, you know, acknowledge things like, you know, the wedding of her gay granddaughter, she sent along a pamphlet on sexually transmitted diseases enclosed in a sympathy card. Now, the sort of kicker to this story is that in recent years, the grandmother has run out of money. Her children were all contributing to a monthly account for her, but after discovering that she was spending most of this money on home shopping purchases and casino trips, they all stopped. My mother and her siblings said the only items they will pay for now will be her moving into assisted living and her funeral, but nothing else. So now, the grandkids are starting to get letters asking for money. And the advice that Amy is giving is, you know, before you respond, ask yourself, what good would it do if it would somehow benefit her, you, and others to lay out with complete honesty how reprehensible her behavior has been over the years? Then do that. Otherwise, you could try a simple, more compassionate, but also truthful response. Dear Gran, I received your letter. I'm genuinely sorry you were in this position. Unfortunately, I cannot be part of your solution. And I'm just wondering if you have anyone in your family who rises to this level of unpleasantness and someone that you've had to cut off. And is it possible to just cut off your grandmother or your grandfather or someone who you don't really want in your life anymore, but they are, you know, the very important in your family tree? Call me at 416-872-1010, or you can text me at 71010. Someone here from Ontario says, I'm the bad person in my family. I'm not going to put any words in his mouth here. I've been supportive of Trump. Now I'm the pitted one. Contact has dropped off noticeably. Someone from Oshawa says, yes, we have a couple of toxic wackadoodles in our family. Dad and my sister with huge control issues. Dad is in his 80s, loves to kick you when you are down. The two of them discuss sex lives with each other. He favors her because she is like him. She's like him most in the family. They keep them at the distance. So many stories that others would recognize. But they don't want to say any more because they don't want to give away who they are, I guess, and anything else here. They say it's painful and embarrassing. As an adult male with kids, I try to bury it, but most often, and let me just find It's not a chance. Best to keep to yourself these days. So, you know, that is a sad story. You know, it is, I found this story of the grandmother a grabber just because it almost sounds like a movie. You know, it almost sounds like something that doesn't occur in real life. Because as I said hours ago, now when we've pitched this story, that I had two grandmothers, both of whom lived to be 100 years old. I knew both of them. I was lucky that way. And they were both great. My maternal grandmother, Vivian Burlingame, was truly one of the sweetest people ever and a huge influence on my life. And then Louetta Krauss, my other grandmother on my father's side, she was a little bit more stern, I would say, but still lovely to be around. And you know, I'm lucky I did not have the toxic grandmother. Someone here from Milton, Ontario says, my mom has completely written off my grandmother as she is insanely jealous of my mother. She constantly belittles her and her life choices, never recognizes her for anything she has done. There was one point where they were both in the car and she was mocking my mother and they had to sit. Oh, this is brutal. They had to sit in a 3-hour car ride home after that in silence. That is no fun for anybody. So let me know if you have stories like this. I'd love to hear them. And I'd like to hear the thought process that goes into cutting somebody off. You know, it's one thing to have a friend and they do something stupid or they're toxic or you just, and you don't call them for a while. You know, or maybe you break off the relationship. But, you know, with a grandparent, with a parent, it's a little tougher. And I think probably requires a great deal more thought because I'm sure that, you know, people say, oh, you know, family is the most important thing. You can't possibly not talk to your grandparents. You can't possibly not talk to, you know, those in your life, the people that sort of are responsible for your life. And I think that, you know, if you are in a point in your life where the toxic behavior is starting to affect your life, that you have to make some very difficult decisions. And I am not suggesting that they are not difficult decisions, but I think they need to be made. Call me at 416-872-1010 or text me at 71010 and let me know what you think about this. We were getting some interesting texts about this, and I'm just very curious because it is not my experience, but you know, apparently it is something that happens in people's families. We have Cece on the line. Hi, Cece. Welcome to the Nightside.
Hi. Yeah, I had a situation that you were speaking of with my father, mm-hmm. our father. There was 5 children, and he was basically kind of supported by his mother. When his mother, my grandmother, who was a wonderful person, died, then he was kind of stopped at the money that was tied up. He had so much, and then the rest was left to us in an estate, and he constantly came after us for money. Right, because he wanted us to dissolve the estate or dissolve the what have you. And I was the one, I'm the baby, but I was the one who stood up and said, you know, like the other story, just enough's enough. I'll pay for anything to do with your well-being, anything to do for your health and well-being. But as far as credit cards and anything else, that's it.
Tell me about, we've just got about a minute left, but tell me about leading up to that conversation. I mean, you have to get to a point in your life when you can have that conversation with your father.
Very difficult, actually, yes. And there are other siblings involved, too. So I drafted up a letter, and I said to my siblings, it's your choice to either agree or not to agree, but I'm sending this letter forward. And some did, some didn't. I think there was only one that did. And it didn't matter because they can't do anything without the 5 signatures.
Right.
So I was the one who stood up and said, you know, hey, you know, you got to draw the line somewhere. There's nothing left. Which, and in the long run, there was a lot of money that was dwindled away. But, you know, so be it. But
well, Cece, thank you for the call. I'll tell you, as I said earlier, nothing will divide a family faster than money.
Oh, you're absolutely right. This was unbelievable in my life, and you still feel it today. This is many, many years ago, but I still feel it today, so it's not a good thing, definitely.
Absolutely
not. And money's not that important.
It's not ultimately, you know, but in the moment maybe it feels that way. Well, I hope you're doing well today.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And to all the others that suffer it, just move on. That's all you can do.
Absolutely. CeCe, thank you for the call. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
It's 8:26. I'm Richard Krause sitting in for Barb DiGiulio on the night side.